You're in the home 6010. Welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico. See the ways that you could save. Daniel, Field, Stefania, and Liz Loza in-house. Liz, our special guest. Obviously, that's the only thing out of place here today. Really excited to be able to have you in studio, Liz.
Thank you, Daniel. Feels wonderful having been here all day.
Yeah, it has been a very long day, and you understand now. Like, come in and do fantasy football now in the morning. Then we're here in the war room. You actually stayed here the entire day. I went home to see my family, but... It's a very long day here on Sunday's Field.
It sure is. And, you know, unfortunately, we have a lot of injuries that we have to get into today. It's wonderful to have Liz, but I wanted to ask Stefania, because now we know that the 49ers are not down one, but two starting quarterbacks today. What do you make of that, Stefania? She's literally speechless.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, it's a tough day right now.
I think verklempt is the word I would use to describe Stefania right now.
Yeah, so no, more seriously, Stefania, we think... is on a wine tour somewhere.
It's probably okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Punta Cana was where people were whispering about in the war room. We haven't confirmed whether or not.
Neither confirmed.
Not confirmed, but it could be Punta Cana. Other one was, there was talk of maybe, I don't know specifically where it is, but exactly the hotel where they filmed the second season of White Lotus is where Stefania might also be. Somewhere
great.
In Italy.
So yes.
Those are the two leading candidates of where Stefania is right now.
Ideally, she will be back tomorrow. Rumor has it she's going to borrow some of Dan Graziano's frequent flyer miles in order to get back in time for the show tomorrow.
Yes.
So, but let us talk about some injuries just to monitor for week 13 here, Field, just a little bit.
Yeah, a lot. Now, unfortunately, the story of week 13 was injuries.
a lot of injuries.
We have a lot. We have some that we have information on. We have some we don't have that much information on. We have some that are really fantasy relevant, some that are probably not quite as fantasy relevant. But let's start with Lamar Jackson, because Lamar leaves this game early for the Ravens. It's a knee injury. After the game, head coach John Harbaugh categorized it as probably days to weeks, not season ending.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what that means for the Ravens. I don't exactly know what that means for Lamar Jackson. Does that mean like 2 weeks? Does it mean three? Does it mean four? I mean, we only have 5 weeks left in the regular season.
Right.
That being said, the Ravens are now 8-4 after somehow they won that game 10-9 over the Denver Broncos. And here's the problem, is that we already have so few good quarterback options this season. We have had a couple of guys who have certainly risen up the ranks, none more so than Justin Fields, who was awesome again today. We'll talk about him. But this is a bummer for Lamar Jackson, because he obviously is one of those few quarterbacks that, even if he hasn't been great this season, we still have felt comfortable ranking him as a top 10 option week in and week out, because he is Lamar Jackson. Tyler Huntley stepped in, and I know it's not quite as good. And in four games last season, he had 16.2 fantasy points, but about half of that came in one of those games. So it was like one great game and three not so great. He actually looked fine to me today, to Tyler Huntley. He looked, I thought, actually serviceable. He ended up with 10.1 fantasy points just with his legs.
Yep.
So he is a, you know, as far as like next man up quarterback options go, I think he's one of the better backups for fantasy purposes in the NFL.
Totally. And I think when you look at him because of that high floor, right, with his legs, maybe at least a streaming option if you did roster, you know, Lamar Jackson. Or next week is tough. The bye weeks are like, there's not a lot of great quarterbacks on waivers right now.
And the Ravens are at Pittsburgh, and TJ Watt is back. And if you're going to beat Pittsburgh, you better put that ball in the air, on the ground.
I think it's important to note that, like, as far as the Ravens pass catchers go, like, none of them have been useful in fantasy other than Mark Andrews. And if you go back and look at it, Mark Andrews' production really isn't that dissimilar with Tyler Huntley as his quarterback as opposed to Lamar Jackson. Another serviceable day for Mark Andrews. Certainly hasn't been nearly the player maybe we expected him to be, especially after that gangbuster start to the season. But Mark Andrews still number two amongst all tight ends behind Travis Kelce, who, you know, Kelce had like a down game by his own standards today, and I think probably still is like a top five tight end for the day, for the week, because that's what Travis Kelce does.
That's what Travis Kelce does, exactly. All right, let's talk about another quarterback injury, unfortunately, and this one is real with Jimmy Garoppolo, unfortunately getting hurt, Field, and then the 49ers played the entire game with Mr. Irrelevant from this year's draft.
Very relevant for the rest of the way will be Brock Purdy, the new starting quarterback, 7th-round pick out of Iowa State, literally the last player taken in this year's draft, Liz. And Jimmy Garoppolo, not the people who are starting Jimmy G, but obviously it means something for all those pass catchers in this offense. And I got to be honest with you, super impressed with Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah.
If I have Deebo Samuel or George Kittle or Brandon Ayuk, I don't think we've gotten to a point where all of a sudden the offense is going to be unable to move the football. I thought he really showed well today.
I think a couple of things. First of all, Kyle Shanahan runs a pretty quarterback-friendly offense, right? We also know that there are a ton of pass catching weapons at Purdy's avail. And if there was one offensive player that Mike McDaniel did not have, was not familiar with or did not prepare for, it was probably Purdy. So there is an opportunity for adjustment, particularly because there is now quite a bit of tape.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would say, but as somebody who has Deebo Samuel, I'm sure we all do, but as anybody who has Deebo Samuel, like I don't think that there are other situations where we have seen a backup quarterback come in and you're like, oh
crap.
Yep. Right. Like this might
like Trevor Siemian or Nathan Peterman.
Examples.
One of those situations.
Right. Examples. Oh. You know, and there, yeah, great. Right. Like, and like,
or Andy Dalton.
I was going to say, there have been examples where Dalton's been fine, but you know, like there, whether it's, you know, Cooper Rush was serviceable for the Cowboys,
Sam
but
Ellinger.
The offense obviously is much better. And Sam Ellinger. Oh my God. Like, I don't think that's the one, Daniel. This is not Sam Ellinger taking over, which is good news. This is a player who maybe it's because of the offensive system. Maybe it's because of the player. Maybe it's a bit of both. I thought that he did enough to feel like the hopes for this 49ers offense going forward should still be pretty optimistic. Kittle will still be a top 5 or 8 tight end every week. Deebo probably still a top 10 or 12 wide receiver. And then CMC, well, he could be very busy going forward because and he was awesome today with CMC. I know he had the game, the triple play game with the throwing, receiving, and rushing touchdown. That was his best game as a 49er. This one, not that far off.
Yeah, I think when you look at this offense, everything that you're saying, Field, there's going to have to be a slight downtick just because he's going to have to get used to the offense. He's got to learn everybody. But I still feel very confident if I have any of these 49ers, I'm still using them. And I'm not really that worried going forward.
I'm glad you said the Sam Ellinger thing, though.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I was just saying maybe I'm a touch less optimistic about Brandon Ayuk maintaining his value.
That's
because he and Garoppolo certainly did have rapport and chemistry, and you saw him take a little bit of a dip today.
Yep. Yep. All right, Trevor Lawrence also left the Detroit Lions game a little early today. Returned as well, and so it doesn't look as though there's anything serious. Sort of got rolled up on while he was getting sacked. Something that we will monitor just to make sure nothing progresses throughout the week.
Yeah, like with Josh Jacobs, he has that monster week last week, and then all of a sudden you find out the next couple of days he hurts, and it didn't matter. He still had
a monster day
today. But still, sometimes players feel great during the game. They feel less great a day or so after. He actually didn't miss a snap. It happened late in the first half. They didn't get the ball to start the second half. So Trevor Lawrence seems to be okay, but we'll keep an eye out on this one. At some point, though, this week, Lions fans, and there are a lot of you out there listening, I hope, we'll talk about how your defense, friskier than people give them credit for over the past 5 or so weeks, as the Lions are just playing awesome football.
That's
really
right.
Happy for you, Daniel. I know you talk about them all the time, but
we'll talk about them a little
bit
later in the show.
That's for sure.
Yes, they are. All right, let's talk about Kenneth Walker. Unfortunately, also left this game early. And listen, the Seahawks looked fantastic, but Ken Walker leaving this game just really hurts. And they basically finished with almost nobody at the running back position.
This was a crazy sequence. Yeah. So there was a point where Kenneth Walker III gets ruled out because of an ankle injury. In the same tweet, Seahawks PR also noted that DJ Dallas had a foot injury. He was doubtful to return. Like 90 seconds later, Tony Jones Jr., the only running back still healthy and available for the Seahawks, takes an absolutely massive hit that draws a penalty flag. He leaves the game, goes right to the blue medical tent, and the next play, DJ Dallas is back on the field.
Yeah.
And he finished the game out. Like, so much credit to you, DJ Dallas, for absolutely gutting it out when you had a foot injury that definitely was a problem. You were doubtful to return, but all of a sudden this backfield is very thin, Liz. And as we go into waivers this week, how do you have any idea who to grab from the Seahawks backfield?
I mean, I don't think you have any idea right now. I think you're going to have to read the notes and read the updates and see who's healthy. And we just talked about Trevor Lawrence maybe tweaking something, maybe something the adrenaline wears off. I imagine that the adrenaline might wear off for DJ Dallas, and he might be a little bit more sore on Monday. And so you're just going to have to keep tabs on it.
Yeah, that's something we'll have to continue to monitor, what the Seahawks do with this running back situation. They get the Carolina Panthers here next week. So something to be able to watch.
Yeah, we'll keep, certainly Tuesday will be a very busy day for the waiver wire. We'll see whether, is DJ Dallas actually going to miss time? Because again, he was doubtful to return.
Right. Yeah.
Is Kenneth Walker going to be out for a week, a 2, 5, 0? We'll find out, and we'll give you the update there.
Hopefully, can we speak zero into existence?
Yes.
Let's say zero.
But early names to know, Travis Homer, certainly a name to keep in mind. DJ Dallas, a name to keep in mind. And maybe Tony Jones Jr. is also available. He did. Tony Jones is a good, powerful north-south runner.
All right, let's talk about Jalen Waddle really quickly, Field, because he left this game for a little bit.
Leg injury. He returned, but seemed like he was still bothered by this leg injury. So again, another one that I put in the same category that finished the game, seems to have escaped major injury, but if Mike McDaniel takes the podium tomorrow and says, hey, we'll see on Jalen Waddle this week, he's going to be limited or maybe even sit in a practice a couple of days, wouldn't stun me.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems fair. All right, let's talk one more wide receiver here before we can move on and talk some of the fun stuff. Not that injuries, well, no, injuries aren't fun. There's never anything about. Yeah. Traylon Burks
stinks. Yeah.
This part was fun, though. Like, Traylon Burks got in the end zone, 25-yard touchdown, really pumped for him to be able to get his first touchdown. Unfortunately, also kind of took a huge shot on that play.
Not kind of, definitely was concussed, had to leave the game. I mean, I really feel bad for Burks. He has flashed and then had to deal with the turf toe issue, comes back from that, flashed again, was on tons of waiver wire lists this week, and then gets concussed in this game. It stinks.
Yeah,
it does. And, He's not getting the reps, by the way.
Massive, I mean, crazy hit. Yeah. For him to hold on to that catch while getting crunched.
Unbelievable.
Incredible play. Stefania's pointed this out recently. The average return to play for concussions has been around 9 days. So do the math. That gets us through week 14. It could be that Traylon Burks is out for week 15. The Titans got stomped today. They've really, I mean, unless they can run the football, they have a hard time putting up points. Not having Traylon Burks only makes that more difficult. So we'll see whether he's available in week 14. Certainly feels like you should be preparing to not have him in your lineup if you did add him this week.
It does kind of feel weird to say unless they can run the football since they have Derrick Henry, but they've really struggled actually running the football lately, which has not been great for the Titans. All right, we're going to talk about some more fun storylines here in week 13.
The actual fun.
Liz, why don't you pay some bills for us?
I would happily do that. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Geico. Oh, I was going to say Geico again as my phone's going off.
No.
I turned over and I opened up the ESPN app and it's so good the video started to play. If you're hiring, you know the struggle. Quickly finding the best candidates for your team can seem like an impossible task. ZipRecruiter makes it easy to find exactly who you're looking for. They're like a talent scout for your team, bringing you the candidates who best fit your needs. With ZipRecruiter, finding the perfect match is simple. ZipRecruiter makes it easy to find the right person for the job. Let ZipRecruiter narrow down your search. Their powerful matching technology finds the right candidates for you. Filter, review, and rate all candidates, all from one easy-to-use dashboard. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. When you're ready to build a winning team, let ZipRecruiter help you build the perfect roster. You can try it free today at ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Let's talk about these New York Jets.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Mike White has completely brought these Jets fantasy values back to life. And we all just want to say, Mike White, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the running backs, for Garrett Wilson, for everything just across the board. Liz, you talked about him as potentially a streamer this week. And even though they technically lost to the Vikings, it was a second week in a row in which you could have used Mike White in fantasy.
The legend continues. Also, here's something I learned about Mike White. You may not refer to him unless you use both his first and last name.
Yes, right.
And use the phrase, let's go, to precede that.
Oh, okay.
Mike White, let's go.
All right.
Or let's go, Mike White.
No Scrooge vibes. You have to lean into all that is merry and bright with Mike White, especially when he passes for over 300 yards in back-to-back weeks. The Bears are a generous matchup. The Vikings, also not a shutdown unit, but he did manage to keep this game pretty close. Red zone efficiency, certainly an issue. But if you're looking forward and Lamar Jackson isn't available and Jimmy Garoppolo isn't available and Tom Brady has a tough matchup against the 49ers, all of a sudden, admittedly, the Jets will travel to Buffalo and that's not an easy matchup. But I do think heading into the playoffs and noting how injured and up and down and wonky the quarterback position has been, maybe you stash Mike White.
Yeah, and certainly as you look ahead of the schedule beyond Buffalo, Detroit, Jacksonville, Seattle, three matchups that even with Detroit playing better of late, none of those is facing a dominant defense. And the fearlessness certainly stands out. Just the ability to do the easy stuff easily.
Yep.
And they've got really good playmakers.
He's got Garrett Wilson.
By the way, they threw the ball 57 times today. You would have never guessed that for Mike White. 369 passing yards, QB5 on the week. And Garrett Wilson, as you mentioned, Daniel, 15 targets, 162 yards, 8 catches, 24.2 fantasy points. All of that really matters for this offense. He's been tremendous. And early today, Daniel, Robert Saleh did his customary before the game rounds with various reporters. And he said, hot hand, and we're going to go with committee. Not so fast, my friend. Bam Knight looks like the real deal for this Jets backfield.
Absolutely, and he's being involved in all facets of this game, both catching passes as well as being the guy that is toting the rock. He looked at his snap count, 46 to 28 over Ty Johnson. He had 15 of the 20 carries, like I said, and involved in the passing game. This week, 16.8 fantasy points, two straight weeks. Without Michael Carter, he, again, just like Mike White, a very usable piece in this Jets offense if you need a running back in these upcoming weeks. Yep,
100% agree. And just a cool story. Again, this is why running back is the most fungible position in sports right now. It's because Bam Knight, an undrafted free agent, is all of a sudden playing good ball for the Jets. If Michael Carter is out next week, I'll have Bam Knight as a top 25 running back play.
All right, let's talk about the Packers and Bears. Liz Loza is here, so we got to talk about the Bears game a little bit.
No, it's okay. You can be optimistic, Liz, and I have a reason for this. Because the Bears want to win. Every team wants to win, of course. But the most important thing that the Bears could figure out this year was whether or not Justin Fields was the real deal.
I agree with that. Losing, not covering, not just losing, but also not covering versus the Vikings. I'm versus the Packers. See, I don't even want to think it.
Yeah.
Versus the Packers stings a little bit more. It was nice to see Justin Fields go out there and be that dude, right? Lewis Riddick on FF Now was talking about how painful a shoulder separation is. He convinced me to sit him in a couple of leagues. Now, I did okay because I had Joe Burrow, but it worked out for me. But it was wonderful not just to see Justin Fields play well or produce or have a nice stat line, but to see him be confident, to see him command this offense, to see him get pieces like Cole Kmet involved. Now, this is looking like a more well-rounded unit.
Yep.
Here's the bottom line. In a day in which Justin Fields gets you 6 fantasy points as a thrower, he still manages 19.3 for the day, which I believe is quarterback 3
on the
going
day
into Sunday Night Football.
Yep.
So with 4 quarterbacks left to play, Tom Brady and Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan and Dak Prescott, you feel pretty good about the chances of Justin Fields being at least a top 5 quarterback this week and maybe even a top 3 quarterback. He has become, when his breakout first occurred, I remember we talked about it and I said, hey, what we hoped for was, can this be Jalen Hurts of last year? Mm-hmm. Where even if the passing isn't great, the rushing is just so astronomical that you're going to have a top 10 fantasy quarterback option. I think it's better right now. I'd have to look at the points per game where Justin Fields is since he took over as the starter, but Jalen was at like right around 20.5 fantasy points last year. Justin Fields has been off the charts good, out of control. It's just ridiculous.
Jalen Hurts was also playing with that ankle injury down the stretch.
Sure, and Justin's playing with a shoulder injury, right? Yeah. Like, it's like you can sort of make the case both ways, right? I'm just sort of like, the bottom line is that he is in that same breath as where Jalen Hurts was last year, which bodes incredibly well for what it might look like next season. Have I told you lately that the Bears have $100 million in cash?
Yeah. I will say this, though. Love Justin Fields. We all do.
Oh, it's the Lions fan coming out.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Next 2 weeks are just tough for fantasy managers because they get a bye here next week.
That's
tough,
yeah.
And then they get the Bills the week after that.
Philly first.
Sorry, Philly after
and
that.
The Bills. You're right, Daniel. The schedule does make things a little bit hairier, but the
you're
secret sauce, it's the running, right? It's that regardless of who they play, when he's ripping off a 56-yard touchdown rush in the first quarter.
That's unreal.
He's almost as ridiculous as Christian Watson right now, Daniel.
Dude. So Christian Watson here, 46-yard touchdown run, okay?
Yeah.
Plus 3 catches for 48 yards and a touchdown, good enough for 24.4 fantasy points. This is 4 straight games over 20 fantasy points, Field.
Yeah, he's breaking the mold. Like, when we were doing our preview show on Friday, when we had lineup locks for this game, we did not have Christian Watson. And then we brought him up, and I said, I don't care if he's a lineup lock or not. Nobody who plays fantasy football is benching Christian Watson right now. He's been so completely absurd for the past 3 games that you fear being the idiot who doesn't play Christian Watson, and then he goes off for another touchdown or 2 or even 3. And he did it again. What makes Christian Watson special is the speed. He has got rare speed. This is exactly why the Packers used a premium second-round pick out of North Dakota State. It's going to catch up to him at some point, I am sure. But they have a bye this week, and when he comes back against the Rams, I can guarantee you that if you've been riding this, you are going to play Christian Watson that week. So I don't care. He's breaking models. I don't care.
He is. I do want to say this, because I've been, and I know that Fields, you've heard this as well. It's tough not to get some Amon-Ra St. Brown late in the season vibes, and I just want to put some water on that.
Yeah, no, I think it's very different. But you think
I also think it's very different. But I just want to say this because it's a rookie wide receiver that for four straight weeks has come on and scored 20 or more fantasy points. Right? Yep. There's a big difference to me though because when I look at this and I did some numbers. I'm sorry, Mike Clay, but I looked at some numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I look at him, Amon-Ra St. Brown, over the last six games of last year, he was averaging 2.7 fantasy points per reception. Okay, so 2.7. That's league average across the NFL.
Okay.
Christian Watson is averaging 5.9.
Yeah.
I mean, 5.9.
It was, they had no one healthy. Remember, DeAndre Swift was hurt and Hockenson was hurt. They had no wide receivers that were, and it was 12 targets a game. This is getting lucky.
Literally the opposite of what Watson is doing.
Four catches, three catches this week.
Yeah, this is going to catch up.
Regression alert sooner or later.
But you know what? I'd rather be the person that continues to get lucky than the person who pulls the plug a week too soon.
Little asterisk, just to be mindful, since they are in a bye next week. Watson did not start to come on until Romeo Doubs was out. Yeah. Romeo Doubs is expected back at some point. Just mentioning that the volume equation might change.
I might start him next week.
Romeo Why Doubs?
Not? He's on bye. He can't.
I don't care. Christian Watson.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Put a little respect on the man's name, right?
All right. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's
eight touchdowns. I mean, think of it. If I start him next week, he'll still have average, if I can do my math correctly, 1.6 touchdowns per game over a 5-week stretch.
That's still pretty good, Field.
Yeah,
that's
I might do good. It.
Okay.
Field, let's talk about Field. Liz, let's talk about one more Bears wide receiver here before we move on.
Equanimeous St. Brown in a gorgeous, delicious revenge spot. Is that what you want
to
talk
about? That is what
I
want to talk about, yeah.
I mean, I don't think Equanimeous has any sort of fantasy potential moving forward. It is an interesting story. It was nice when I mentioned Justin Fields getting other pieces involved. Obviously, Darnell Mooney not involved. And so, St. Brown, who I still think could use some yoga classes because his reach is not long enough, had himself an outing. But, you know, the asterisk, one game does not a trend make.
Yeah, there were actually a handful of impressive revenge games today, right? I mean, beyond Equanimeous, Trent Sherfield, who needed just one catch in the Dolphins 49ers game for 75 yards and a touchdown. I think he had like one catch beyond that, but still, there were a couple of those today that I thought were worth noting. All right, Daniel, floor is yours. Just brag.
So here's the thing.
Okay.
That's our shoulders off.
I want to say this. 5 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago,
okay,
this Lions team was 1-6.
Count them out.
We are 5-7 now. Mm-hmm. 5-7, and you know why?
That's 12.
That's what you are now. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 4, 5, and 7. Yeah. Yep. Why? Why? Because I know why. Can I guess?
It's grit.
Oh, I wasn't going to say, but that's also correct.
It's because of grit, and I'll tell you what. I think it's a tangible thing. I think, and it comes from Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, I don't care where you're getting it. If you're squeezing it out of your third butt cheek and putting it everyone's smoothies in practice, I don't
care
where.
He's got three butt cheeks?
Remember he said that?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He said
so much stuff that
he said a lot of things.
Yeah.
But Dan Campbell has had this team, and then it's not just Dan Campbell, the entire leadership.
Okay.
This team has just bought in. They look different. I have watched so many bad Lions teams that just quit on their coaching staff. And here we are. We're in a spot where the Detroit Lions, we don't have to worry about, hey, you know what? Maybe we don't want to win because we're going to play ourselves out of our draft pick. We don't have to worry about that. We have the Rams draft pick, and they suck this year.
So we get to keep on playing.
We get to keep investing in these players and letting these young kids understand what it feels to win in a city that has been devoid of winning for years.
It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, my gosh. It's awesome.
Yeah. Liz, I'll have to get you in this league next year. But this year I decided to bang together a couple of my favorite Detroit people in the world.
Yeah, we did.
Daniel, obviously a Michigan man. Our buddy Al from Holmes. Great Michigan man.
Holmes is a brewery.
It's a brewery. It's in Ann Arbor. It's the best. But if you haven't been to Holmes, shame on you. You're missing out. It's awesome. Go visit there, buy their beer, support their product. And we have a bunch of people from Holmes that are playing the league. And Al's buddies from home.
Yep.
And then Daniel. It's like being on the group thread. We have a group thread that is very active.
Oh,
and like
it.
The first 8 weeks of the season, I was like never quite sure how I should interact with them. Like, hey guys, sorry about the loss. Or do you just not say anything? Yeah. All of a sudden, the past month has been the most blissful experience. We're all like, I'm a Lions fan.
You're
a
Lions fan now. That's right.
We just have so much. People are just like, let's go. They go to the home games. Guys are like fired up. They can see the glory that is taking place right now in Detroit. It's a beautiful thing.
And that is going to continue with Amon-Ra St. Brown. One of the things about this Lions team, it doesn't feel like even though they may be the farthest thing, like they're just barely able to even say that they're in the playoff chances.
He's so good.
It doesn't make a difference because this team is going to keep playing 100% every single time. Amon-Ra St. Brown is just fantastic. I just want to say that. If you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's just awesome at football.
Well, and his matchup next week is awesome as well. You get a division matchup against Minnesota. The Vikings. Minnesota. And Minnesota just gave up 369 receiving yards to the Jets. By the way, I was really hoping, even in the division as a Bears fan, that the Jets could knock off the Vikings for the record.
I know, you hate to see the Vikings win. The only thing I'll add on this is that, and I think we should take some pride in this podcast, in being part of the constituency that going into the season, the anti-Amon-Ra argument was, yeah, but no Hockenson, no Swift, all those guys were gone last year at the end of the season. It's a lot easier to catch a million passes when you're like Will Smith in that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air meme where you're the only guy left in the room, right?
It's like, where are we going?
I know. There's a lot of ways you could. Will Smith, it's like this, for a second, you're like, oh boy, no. Where's he going? Is he going to go over and smack Daniel? No, he's not. Okay, good. Daniel did not get smacked. Amon-Ra just proved, like, sometimes we just need to not overthink it with players in fantasy.
Yep.
It's not just opportunity. Sometimes it's talent, and Amon-Ra is so talented.
Talent Speaking is a tiebreaker.
And talent in this Lions running back thing. Like, listen.
But this is important. Yeah, this is important.
This has been a tough one because we've been talking about, we've watched DeAndre Swift feel like he's not been 100%, right? We've talked about this a bunch. It looks like he's
off
not been getting
this. This past week, finally.
And that was a huge part. We've watched Jamal Williams be the guy in this offense.
Yeah.
And Jamal Williams still got in the end zone. We love that, man.
Maybe the most important thing from fantasy football today. I know there are a bunch of injuries, but non-injury related was the fact that DeAndre Swift played 38 snaps compared to Jamal Williams playing just 23. And if you're like, what's so important about that? Because prior to today, in all the games since DeAndre Swift returned, he'd played 28% of the snaps. He had ceded the job to Jamal Williams. And whether it's because the Lions were just riding the hot hand today or whether it's because of his health, which maybe is the most important factor here for DeAndre Swift, he played a lot. And the result was good. 21.1 fantasy points for DeAndre Swift, who found the end zone as a runner and had four catches. All of a sudden, DeAndre Swift goes from a player that you're like, wait, can I play DeAndre Swift to... Oh, yeah, that's why I use a top 12 pick on DeAndre Swift.
What do we always say the magic number is for running backs in terms of touches? Auto play.
Like 12, 15, right?
50,000?
18. Oh. 18 is always
like, 12, 15 is good for me sometimes.
You get 18
of the crappy
touches, though?
Yeah.
Auto start.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. You got 18 touches today. Yeah. Back to auto start territory.
And obviously, we have to tread lightly. We don't know if this is a one-week thing or if this is a going-forward thing, but I certainly think that If we forecast this for next week, it's clear that DeAndre Swift would go back to being the higher ranked of these two running backs.
All right, shout out to Christian Kirk on the other side of that game, because even though the Lions got the dub, Christian Kirk came through for fantasy managers here and came through for you, Liz Loza.
He did. I took him his prop, which I believe was 60.5 receiving yards. I took the over on that, and he definitely managed that. 6 of 8 for 104 yards. Here's the thing about Christian Kirk. His usage is going to be a little bit suspect because the Jags are a little bit suspect, right? Like, Trevor Lawrence is kind of sus, but because he's sus, he needs a safety valve, and Christian Kirk has emerged as that option. Last week, didn't really have the yardage, but he is always the go-to guy in the short to intermediate passing game, and that, particularly on a day where Trevor Lawrence did not do well, where his leg got folded up like an accordion, he's still locked in on Kirk and made him the guy. Volume wins, talent wins, matchups win. That worked out nicely for Kirk this week.
Yep, and it was a tough game for Travis Etienne. The Jaguars just getting blown out, and so they were in pass first mode.
Yeah. Who?
Travis Etienne.
Who did they lose to is what I was asking.
The Detroit Lions.
Okay, got it. I just forgot. I blacked out.
That was a nice gift. That was a nice gift.
Detroit Lions have been really good against running backs the last five weeks.
Like everybody.
It has been unreal.
Their secondary is the only problem. It's a carousel of different DBs.
You're going to notice some numbers this week. They're going to be brought to light here on the good old podcast.
GRIT.
You want to talk about a couple things here on the back end about Deshaun Watson's return to the football field in the second, Daniel?
Let's do it.
Okay, but before we do that, college football season has heated up, as you know. The playoffs are upon us, and Dr. Pepper and the residents of Fansville invite you to revel in another one-of-a-kind year, flexing your foam finger, humming your school's fight song in your sleep, and thriving on a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip and post-game commentary, all washed down with a rich, delicious Dr. Pepper, of course. Another Saturday is always around the corner, so make sure your tailgate doesn't turn into a failgate and pick up a case of ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
It's the best time of year. It's football season. We're in full swing here. Basketball and hockey have returned, and literally nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Nothing. Make up for lost time. Go out and enjoy a game. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, is offering you $10 off your first $100 ticket purchase with code FFF. That's code FFF. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. I just got a text from Dan Campbell saying that Gridade is their drink of choice.
Oh, didn't we talk about a grid? Isn't that a grid? No, that was a, what was that called?
Mike Clay.
Come on.
Okay, Mike Clay.
You have the Mike Stump jokes, but I get an Lord. Are you kidding me?
No. We're not trying to enable Mike's dumb jokes any more than they enable
you feel. Okay?
No. What was that bone that Stefania was? Gridade or Granoid?
Granoid or something like that?
We learned all kinds of weird stuff on Fantasy Football Now today from Stefania.
All right, Phil, let's talk about this Browns-Titans game because this is the week.
Browns-Texans, but yeah.
Sorry, Browns-Texans.
Yeah, I know.
Deshaun Watson finally back under center and on the football field.
Yeah, so this one, obviously coming into the game, we didn't know how Deshaun Watson would look because he had not played in 700 days in an NFL regular season game. I think it would have been reasonable to expect, though, that he would look like a guy that for his career has averaged 22.1 fantasy points per game or maybe at least close to it. Instead, we got an extremely, extremely poor performance from the entire Browns offense. Deshaun Watson was 12 for 22, 131 yards with a pick. He did have 7 rushing attempts for 21 yards, but he managed just 5.3 fantasy points. The Browns offense accounted for 0 scores today. Their defense, though, had special teams had 3 scores.
Oh, my gosh.
So the Browns win this game handily, but because their defense had a punt return for a touchdown, interception return for a touchdown, a fumble return for a touchdown, and a safety. So here's, I think, the question mark with Deshaun Watson. And it's way too soon to know after one game. But this is what I imagine some people are wondering right now. Is this just a sloppy performance after being out for 700 days, not really getting in a rhythm because they played so much of the game on defense? They didn't even have that many offensive plays. It's just the first game back. Or, and I think this or option is fairly unlikely, but I'm bringing it to light because I think people maybe have this same thought. Is this Russell Wilson where a team makes a big bet on a quarterback and then immediately that quarterback takes a big step backwards because everything about last season, not everything, but at least 2 years ago, and for parts of last season, you were like, yeah, Russell Wilson's still an elite quarterback. He went to Denver and they forgot how to play offense.
Dude,
I don't know. I don't know if either one of you has a strong take based off what we saw today from Deshaun Watson, but certainly not exactly a performance that if you started him, you were rewarded for.
No, well, first of all, I have to congratulate Daniel because you, I think, were one of the few analysts who were like, whoa, 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 guys. He is like being ranked top 6, top 7. You're like 703 days is a lot of time. There can be some rust no matter how good of a player he was before this situation. Congratulations.
Appreciate that.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
I don't find the Russell Wilson comp situation exactly the same because there's certainly some issues that Nathaniel Hackett has brought to light. So, you know, that's
age,
piece of it.
There's a lot of things that are different. I just, more so the idea that like a quarterback
quickly took a downward turn
as opposed to, and again, Deshaun's 27 or something. Like, it would be very, very, very unlikely for a quarterback to all of a sudden get really bad at the age of 27 out of nowhere.
No, I mean, we did see him run 7 times for 21 yards, right? Useful. So there's that's the skill set we are accustomed to. The matchup is at Cincinnati next week, though, and that gives me all the icky feels. Yeah. That feels like it's going to be an ugly game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be a very, very hostile environment in Cincinnati. I think it's extremely unlikely that Deshaun Watson has regressed majorly as a player. I'm trying to sort of put myself in the brain of where I think some people are going to go.
Absolutely. Can I ask you a question about this?
Dude, go for it.
Because one of the things that it feels like to me is understanding it's been so many days, right? We come back and we see this offense. I think it just seems so plausible. Like, you don't do something for 2 straight years. How much practice time has he had? Like, just
not much. I mean, he's been on the practice field for a few weeks now.
So for a few weeks in a new offense with a new head coach and a new, like, I know he's had time to learn all of these things, but it's not like he's had time to just perfect his chemistry with these guys. So this is a big part of it where
it definitely goes back and forth. Yeah. I mean, I think the other factor here is that, and we don't know, and I am not delivering sympathy here for him at all. But who knows how much the fact that he was returning to a place, the city where he was accused by more than 24 women of sexual misconduct and served a 11-game suspension and got fined $5 million as a result of and faced boos on every single snap. How much did that impact Deshaun Watson today? Was Seems it a factor? Like it. I don't know. I don't care, but I wonder how much it does. But I'm telling you right now, if you thought today was bad for boos, check out next week because Cincy is going to be rocking, and the Bengals are 8-4 playing great football. They have the longest winning streak in the AFC right now, and those fans will be less than welcoming to Deshaun Watson next Sunday.
Yep, we will continue to talk about the Browns around Deshaun Watson and where you can rank them heading into this week. But let's talk about Dameon Pierce here, Liz, because Dameon Pierce, 21 touches in this game. Oh, wait, this is a field talk. Sorry, 21 touches. Field.
Yeah. No, just a reminder that, like, and Mike, I give Mike Clay a ton of credit for this. You know, he was talking about these past couple weeks.
He was
like,
big on.
He was like, he played the worst matchups you could possibly have as far as running backs go. Today, a much better matchup. Although the Texans' offense was generous to the Browns' defense and allowing them to score points, the Texans' defense played pretty well and able to keep this game relatively close for a portion of it. It actually was a Texans lead early in the game, so the game script was fine for Dameon Pierce. The only part that has me a bit concerned is that we're all sitting here like, yeah, we told you it's fine for Dameon Pierce. And he got 12.5 fantasy
points. Yeah, that part is not great.
Right, so it's like clearly, and Liz and I discussed this actually in the war room, is that for a while there was a stretch where it was like, is RB5 too low for Dameon Pierce in our weekly rankings? Now it's like, is RB15 too high? Like, he's netted out somewhere around like RB15 to 20 for me. Yeah.
95 yards today total.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty
18
good.
18 carries.
Yeah,
pretty magic good. Number.
There's your number. Yeah.
Plus three catches. Yeah. And you're right. The matchup did matter here. Cleveland very leaky against runs between the tackles, and that's obviously where Dameon Pierce does most of his work.
Yep. All right, let's talk about the Commanders.
Let's do it.
Okay.
How about that? Terry McLaurin freaking gets in the end zone here. He's looked great. Over 100 rushing or 100 receiving yards in three of his last six, and he's getting a ton of volume here too. Last seven games, 8.7 targets per game.
He's good.
Which is fantastic. I don't know what we're not saying anything other than keep starting Terry McLaurin as you have been, because Terry McLaurin's just awesome at football and he needs to be in
your
fantasy.
He's so fun to
lineup.
Watch. That's it. I mean, there was a time earlier this year where we were sitting here lamenting the fact that he wasn't getting enough volume.
Because the other wide receivers in that offense.
And they were playing a lot, but 12 targets.
Carson Wentz was completely inaccurate.
Totally but different Terry McLaurin.
Just Terry McLaurin, awesome football Unlocked. Player. Yep. Good at the game. Love everything about him. Love everything he stands for. Love the leader he is. Might be my favorite player in the NFL. I've said that a couple of times.
Love
he
that.
Might be there. He's certainly in the conversation.
Brian Robinson looked fantastic this week, too. Just a ton of volume, I guess you could say, from him. 21 carries for 96 yards, two catches for 15 yards. So gets over 100 yards total, 13.1 fantasy points.
Yeah, that's the tricky one, right?
We've talked about this.
23 points, to go back to what we talked about with just now. With
23
with
touches,
Pierce,
but only 13
points. 23
points,
awesome.
23 touches.
I'm sorry, 23 fantasy, 23 opportunities and 13.1 points. He remains largely touchdown dependent.
Yep.
He did have two catches today for 15 yards, but still, when you talk about those running backs that are set it and forget it, you get disappointed when they have like four catches in a game.
Right.
Antonio Gibson came into this game a little bit banged up. Curtis Samuel did see, I believe, six rushing attempts, and he was a little bit, I'm sorry, three rushing attempts, and he caught six balls, more involved than he has been previously. Yep. And you have to imagine that some of that had to do with Gibson's injury. The Commanders are on bye next week.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see come week 15 what shakes out. But I think we know what Brian Robinson's role on this offense is. He's a little bit more game script dependent than maybe we would like him to be.
Yep.
And more touchdown dependent. But we know what we're dealing with at least. And so that'll help us make good decisions moving forward.
They also play the Giants out of their bye.
They've got a weird schedule, right, to finish this out with the NFC East. It's going to be a tough one. Without J.D. McKissick, though, Field, and I know that we've talked about this, it's just, it's going to be hard not to have Brian Robinson ahead of Antonio Gibson ahead of Brian Robinson every single week because of the passing game work that you can get from Antonio Gibson.
I'd like to see, maybe Kyle can dig this out for Tuesday. Since J.D. McKissick went out and since Brian Robinson's role kind of grew, how many weeks he's finished ahead of Antonio Gibson and vice versa?
I think Brian Robinson has more opportunities and Antonio Gibson has been more efficient with his opportunities.
He has, but I wonder if it's like, you know, I think it's six games now. How many has Gibson factored in ahead of
Brian Robinson?
And vice versa.
That's fair.
I think it might be 3-3. And the point is that people agonize over ranking these players and like, it's definitely this guy. we lean towards Gibson on this show, but it's still pretty close. It's not like we're talking about a Nick Chubb versus Kareem Hunt situation where it's clear which running back deserves to be ranked higher than the other.
Normally, we would just ask Kyle now, but after the win over the Bears, he is
eating
just,
all the cereal I just, bought him. Thank
so
you
much
very
Dr.
much.
What do you buy?
He likes Raisin Bran or Life.
You know, if I want to bet involve cereal, I'd probably get something a little bit more exotic, like give me some Lucky Charms.
That's what I was going to say. Cinnamon I want Toast the marshmallows.
Yeah. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a great one.
Yeah, let's go to the dentist right after this and get a cavity. I don't care.
Since Kyle's not here, can I give you a quick nug on the backfield split?
In Love nugs.
We're here, you right. Yeah.
Which of these two running backs would you imagine has more goal line carries, Brian Robinson?
I would think Robinson for sure. Right?
Heading into this game, Robinson had 3 and Antonio Gibson had 5 on the season.
That is a spicy nug.
Guess that. Okay. That is spicy. Yeah, I like spicy nugs.
Spicy nugs.
Yeah, who doesn't like spicy nuggets?
I'm into nuggets, y'all.
What's your sauce real fast?
Anything super hot.
Ooh, you're a hot,
super hot sauce. Yeah,
I'm like a no. I like the sugar. Mild. Give me sweet and sour sauce.
Sweet and sour. I'm equal opportunity. I like all sauces.
You're just saucy.
I'm saucy.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Honey mustard, hot sauce, medium sauce, sweet and sour sauce.
Do you do the? Do you mix the ketchup and the mayo so that it has that little mixture
gross.
Of sauce?
Isn't oh.
that what? What do you mean gross?
Isn't that Russian dressing? Isn't that what they call it?
Thousand Island. Totally right. I think it's called Thousand Island.
Okay, might be both. Yeah.
Marie Sharp's Belizean hot sauce is the best hot sauce that you can buy.
All right.
And I'm going to
first. Shout out Marie Sharp's.
Did you get that in Belize? Did you go to Belize and get that?
I did.
Nice. I've never been, but it sounds like a cool place.
It is. It's great.
Yeah. Wow. You'll have to ask Stefania about what Belize is like.
Maybe that's where she is now.
Where is that?
You're totally right.
All right. Let's talk about a few more remaining players here. I don't even know how to talk about Drake London, but we're going to try and do this. Liz. Drake London scored fantasy points this week. Are we finally at a point where maybe without Kyle Pitts and the rest of this offense that you're saying, boy, maybe he's worth a dart throw?
Maybe. He is matchup dependent. Now, I really thought he was going to show up in the red zone because the thing he can be counted on is to emerge as a red zone weapon. He had 11 red zone targets, which was the wide receiver 12 heading into this game. He did not come down with the touchdown, but he did manage 6 catches for 95 yards. Now, here is the thing you need to dissect. 12 targets. Why? Because Marcus Mariota's arm is not something I particularly want to bet on. But Drake London's talent, particularly in contested situations, does seem to correct that. So the maybe is that if the Falcons are facing a team like the Steelers that are much more aggressive at defending the run than they are the pass, London is not going to be as nice of an option because obviously the Falcons want to run the ball. But if there is an opportunity to feed a receiver who is talented and game script and matchup projects that that will happen, then I think London is your guy. At least we don't have to talk about this Olamide Zaccheaus situation.
No.
Again, right? Like we don't have to mess around with
no,
that.
No, the only situation we need to talk about here is Desmond Ridder taking over for
Marcus
Mariota.
Spicy. Superflex savior.
Somebody else this offseason.
Anybody.
Right? And let's talk dynasty for a second. If you have Drake London, if you have Kyle Pitts, patience, young grasshopper.
Yes.
That's what I need from you right now. Don't sell. Don't be spooked. Especially on Kyle Pitts, because it was such a bad year for him before he got hurt for such great expectations. Don't be spooked. Just be patient.
Patient.
Better days are ahead. And maybe if they can either get a veteran quarterback or they can get one of these quarterbacks in the draft. I'm not entirely sure how to size up this draft class as of yet, but we'll find that out later. Just patience.
You know, you can listen to the first draft podcast come January with
wait for
Field,
first draft.
Mel, and Todd.
And
for
you.
That.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do some fun things on it. That. Well, that's a great question.
You can join the party. It's so fun.
All right.
Let's Mel and Todd, we just left.
Dude,
we
they're great.
We just, you just turn them on and let them just, they just go.
Yeah.
It's instant true. Offense is what they are, like a microwave.
It's sort of like the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not sure which one's Devonta Smith, which one's A.J. Brown. I'm not sure it matters because they're both stinking good at football.
Yeah,
and
so,
they complement each other so well.
Hey!
Liz, we were trying to figure out this name, this category recently on the show. So basically there are players that it's like, we're not talking about Mike Williams, who's got a larger sample size and is so up or so down that it's just like you live with it no matter what. But it's like these guys who are good enough that they probably belong in your lineups every single week. They might have the unexplained dud every once in a while, but you're just like, I don't know. Like, how am I supposed to know when the Devontae Smith good week is going to happen versus the Devontae Smith bad week is? We couldn't quite think of that term, but today was a good Devontae Smith, right? There was no reason for me to, Tennessee's a good matchup, no doubt, right? But There have been other good matchups where he has not feasted. And you're just kind of like, I don't know, maybe it'll be good, maybe it'll not be good. And he was good today.
He has been more involved since Dallas Goedert has been sidelined. Mm-hmm. I believe nine targets in back-to-back games heading into this week. So the volume has been there. And, you know, I said on FF Now, like, we knew A.J. Brown was going to have a revenge game. Everybody was focused on that. But Devonta Smith is seeing more and more opportunities. And five catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Devonta Smith is that dude.
Yeah, it was really great to be able to see him and A.J. Brown be involved in the same game. Because a lot of, like, this whole season, it sort of felt like it's one or the other here. So, Eagles are just so stinking good at football, man.
I don't think Goddard is expected back until maybe week 15. So I think we've got, you know, next week they play the Giants. So I think we have another opportunity here to lean into some more predictable volume for Smith.
Maybe a couple of opportunities. No offense after the Giants, but.
Oh, I know.
All right.
The Bears.
All right.
The Bears.
Let's talk about Ja'Marr Chase here real quick, Phil, because
I just got a report, basically.
Yeah, it's his first game back, first time that we're seeing him, and I thought he looked fantastic. There's nothing that caught my eye. I can't wait to hear from Stefania on Tuesday, but he looked great.
If you had told me he wasn't injured before this game, I would have had no idea. He led the team in catches, targets, and receiving yards. Seven catches, eight targets, 97 yards. Didn't find the end zone, but every once in a while he does not because he is a mortal.
Oh,
16.7 fantasy points.
Yeah, because he doesn't find the end zone, only 16.7 fantasy points.
So if you had any concerns whatsoever about how he would look in his return, those were quickly put to bed as he had 16.7 fantasy points. You love that. And again, with six more teams on a bye, that means 26, including this week, have already had their bye since he has already had theirs. So for the next 5 weeks, you get Ja'Marr Chase and what is a massive schedule stretch for the Bengals. They're 8-4 now, but they go Browns with Deshaun Watson at the Bucs, at the Patriots, home to Buffalo, home to Baltimore. What a way for Cincinnati to finish.
I cannot believe that they beat the Chiefs here. And how lucky is Tyler Boyd that they won this game because that dropped touchdown that he had in his hands. Oh,
I know. I'd
be sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I would be as well. But they got a great gritty win. They have now beaten the Chiefs three straight times going back to last season.
All right, let's talk about Rams running backs, which obviously means we're talking about Kyren Williams, right, guys? Kyren Williams is who we're talking about. Listen,
hold on now. All you mouth breathers out there on Twitter.
Whoa!
No. All you people out there that were yelling at me on Twitter and telling me you are way too high on Cam Akers. You had no business ranking him as a top 20 running back coming into the season. How you like me now, baby?
Yeah, that's right.
Week 13, Cam Akers finally looked good. So I'm taking that as a victory, all right? 19 fantasy points for my guy Cam Akers. I mean, that's basically Barry Sanders, right? Like, who knows? For the rest of the season, he might be the best running back in fantasy. It's, like, extremely unlikely, and it's been a massively disappointing season. But for a second, I'm going to pretend like some of those mean tweets weren't actually deserved. Because they were deserved. He's been terrible all year.
How many
and
people?
And when it finally seemed like it was a turning of the tides, it's going to be the Kyren Williams show. Dude. Instead, Cam Akers has 17 carries for 60 yards and two touchdowns and plays 46 snaps to 17 for Kyren Williams.
Sean McVay and Cam Akers are the Ross and Rachel of the NFL. This
on
again, off again. I do not think he is. I do not think Cam Akers is Sean McVay's lobster, but this on again, off again is legit.
I just don't understand
it. And no one gets it, Daniel. Nobody gets it. Not even Sean McVay.
I don't think
Sean McVay probably was like, all right, let's put Kyren in. And like Cam Akers ran on the field and he was like, all right, that works too. No problem. Right?
I feel like, is there anybody in this offense?
There's only one explanation for this.
Tell me.
You guys know the explanation right now. Sean McVay was definitely playing against Kyren Williams in fantasy.
In fantasy, that's what it was.
Like he opened up his app and he was like, all right, I got Shanahan this week. And Shanahan's kind of a wagon, but Shanahan's got a lot of Panthers, a lot of Cardinals on his roster. Yeah. He's got James Conner and Deontay Foreman, and he's got two running backs on a bye that normally play. Oh, he's got Kyren Williams on the bench.
Dang
all
it.
Right, fine, I'll play Kyren enough to keep the integrity of the game alive, but not too much. That's the only explanation.
This Rams team is gross. The only thing I can say about it is thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell me more about that, Daniel, because hypothetically, if your team had the Rams pick, how would you feel about it?
Oh, I would feel probably ecstatic, I think.
Okay.
I think that I would probably feel like it might be one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I would think that maybe I might name my first child
Stafford.
Rams draft pick.
Rams draft picked up.
No matter who. Yeah.
No matter who it is, it's just Rams draft picked up.
I hope that they end up, I don't think he's anywhere close to being a top five pick, but there was that guy who got the NIL deal, the Nebraska player, whose name was DeColdest.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you name your kid DeColdest if that's what they took?
Probably.
The coldest dop?
Yeah, I think I would be all right with that.
The coldest damn dop.
Yeah.
Okay.
The double D's. It would just fall right in line with what I am.
Yeah, you know that's right. The coldest.
Yeah. So I'm technically a triple D, no big deal. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm
probably my favorite show. He's Daniel Dop.
All right, checking in here really quickly with the Sunday Night Football exclusive. Liz Loza, we just watched the Indianapolis Colts just get demolished by the Dallas Cowboys. I just want to start really quickly with the Colts. I don't think we need to have a huge conversation here. Jonathan Taylor got 24 touches. Listen, every week you're going to take 24 touches from Jonathan Taylor. It was just a rough outing against this Dallas Cowboys defense. Do you have any takeaways from the Colts?
I mean, when the score is 54-19 and Jonathan Taylor is still seeing 21 carries, that is pretty, I mean, regardless of game script, he's still getting that kind of volume. Like, that bodes well. He also drew 4 targets, caught 3 balls. So a 24 touch effort. You'll take it. I'm going to keep an eye on, I mean, like, I know the tight end position has been really, really fluky, and there's Mo Alley Cox kind of, and Jelani Woods had a big week last week. He was banged up this week, but Kyle Granson, you know, was second in team targets with 6 looks. He converted 4 of those, only 19 yards, but I do think there might be something there. I think it's more of a DFS play if you're going to mess with it at value versus a redraft play. Not that I'm going to like step into your DFS pool, but I just want to point it out anyone who likes to stream at the position. And, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. only caught 2 balls, but we know he's super talented, and we knew this was going to be a tough matchup, particularly with Trayvon Diggs on him. Although it should be mentioned, the Cowboys had some injuries in their secondary. Anthony Brown was carted off, I think, midpoint. I lost track of time because the score was so out of whack so early.
Yeah, it really was. And let's just, I mean, outside of Jonathan Taylor getting a ton of volume, this offense just looked really tough against this awesome, like you said, Cowboys defense. Let's talk about the Cowboys, because they had 4 players score over 18 fantasy points. And that didn't even include Dak Prescott, their quarterback. Yeah. Who didn't even need to, in spite of having 3 passing touchdowns, just barely needed to do anything else because this defense and this running game was so freaking dominant, Liz.
I mean, we talked about revenge games, Equanimeous St. Brown obviously being one of the under radar ones earlier in the show, but Malik Hooker had himself a revenge game.
Yeah, he looked fantastic being able to. I just want to know, how many points did the Dallas Cowboys defense score?
That's a good question.
They had 19 fantasy points, it looks like here. Wow. With a touchdown, 3 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries, 3 sacks, and 19 points allowed.
So 19 points from the Cowboys defense against the Indianapolis Colts offense at home is more points than Patrick Mahomes scored. Or is the same number of points as
same
Patrick
number
Mahomes
of
scored.
Points.
Yeah. More about- points than Justin Herbert.
More than their own Allen. Quarterback in Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This offense, honestly, if they are going to be able to be firing on all cylinders, and obviously this was just a total blowout, so it's not going to be like this every week. But Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, they're not going anywhere. Like, they've been doing this now week in and week out. They're going to continue to rely on these guys on the ground game. CeeDee Lamb looked amazing again. 5 for 71 and a touchdown on 7 targets. Michael Gallup looked fantastic. I think that the more that Dak continues just to get comfortable and find his spots while fitting in with this run game and this defense, shoot. This Cowboys team is going to give the Eagles a run for their money in the NFC.
I 100% agree with you. Dak Prescott, by the way, 3 touchdowns on 30 pass attempts. So 1 for every 10 he scored. Michael Gallup finally found the end zone for the first time since I don't know when, twice this week. A little bit fluky. He did see 7 looks, so I'm not ready to go all in on Michael Gallup, particularly because I just don't know if there's ever going to be enough volume, but it worked out well for him this week. CeeDee Lamb also saw 7 targets. He found the end zone once, but 71 yards and 5 balls. Next week, the Dallas Cowboys will host the Houston Texans. Now, you mentioned Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. You know where I'm going here. Complaint has been, Tony Pollard is so much more electric and elusive, and we would love to see him have a more featured role, but we know Zeke is going to be involved. Now, Zeke did out-carry Pollard by 5, and they both found the end zone, though Pollard found it twice. You have to imagine in a matchup against the Texans, the positive silver lining here is that there will once again be enough opportunities for both of these backs to eat.
Yeah, I see 20 touches for Zeke. I see 14 for Tony Pollard. And a pair
of touchdowns, one for each of them, right?
Yeah. Yep. A pair of touchdowns for Tony Pollard, and Zeke also got in the end zone. But knowing the way that the Texans run defense is just so bad right now, if you tell me that Zeke is going to have 20 touches and Tony Pollard's going to have 15, I'll probably keep taking Tony Pollard because of that big play ability that he has.
Yeah.
And his work in the passing game. I don't know. It's so hard for me to watch Tony Pollard run the football and feel like Ezekiel Elliott is the better play at running back this week. I just don't usually think that.
But Pollard drew the same number of targets as Zeke did in this game and only recorded one more receiving yard than Zeke did. And so Zeke is still, even though the margin was smaller this week, which is what fantasy managers have been trying to speak into existence, it was still, you know, Zeke still saw the lion's share of the opportunities. And again, like that's going to be the way it is. Tony Pollard is more elusive. He has like more juice to his game. Like we all know that. But I think the benefit, again, in next week's matchup is that they can both perform. So we don't have to be so frustrated about which one of these guys we're going to have them ranked. Let's be honest. Like Daniel, we're going to have them both ranked like what, 5, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe spots apart.
Yeah, they'll be very close to each other because of the amount of work that they're going to get and the way that the team utilizes their running back. So anything else you want to talk about with the Cowboys before we wrap this up? And we can both go to bed because now that you are here on the East Coast, you understand the plight that we have every week.
I do. I mean, I think the only thing I'd want to mention is that sometimes people in the community are kind of downgrading Dak because we know that this offense is very balanced. And that means a lot of running opportunities and not necessarily a ton of passing volume, right? Like Dak threw the ball 30 times. That's an average number of times. And he only passed for 170 yards, but he scored 3 touchdowns. And so I just want people to be mindful that Dak doesn't need to rip off 300 yards to find the end zone 3 times because of the weapons at his avail.
Yeah. This offense is very explosive. This defense is dominant.
Oh, yep.
And they are like we were talking about between them and the Eagles, just from the NFC side on these two teams, we're going to have some really fun playoff matchups down the stretch. All right, Liz, that's going to do it for us here today. You are still here in Connecticut, which means we will not see you tomorrow on the Tuesday show, but we will see you on Wednesday. So that'll be super fun to have you in studio. For everybody else listening, we will have me, Field, Mike Clay, and Stefania Bell. That's right, 4 of us on the show tomorrow. We will welcome in our friend Eric Moody really quickly to talk about some waiver wire as well. So please, for everybody on the show this week, don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. You have earned that. You're a good human. Don't forget to tell yourself that every once in a while. Okay. And with that, we love you guys. We will see you on Tuesday. Bye. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel? It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you.